Speak to us now, Lord, we pray. Speak to our souls today. This is why we've come, dear Lord. We're ready for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Heaven and earth will pass, God, but your word will forever last. Lord, we are ready for your word. Father, we pray now that everything that we do and everything that we say will be pleasing in your sight and will bring glory and honor to you. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you. Lord, our strength and redeemer, you are. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There are many people in this world who are hurting around us. Many people who are suffering in silence. They're surrounded by people but still feel lonely. They have jobs with no joy. They have houses without hope, and those houses are not a home. They have money with no meaning. They have prosperity without peace or purpose. And every day, the truth of the matter is, we pass by people who have burdens you cannot see. They smile while hiding broken hearts. They work while carrying worry. They laugh when they're really crying on the inside. And the truth of the matter is, you don't have to look at other people to see it as much as maybe you just need to look in the mirror and see it in your own life. Because the sad truth is, most of us look better than we really feel. And the question is, what do we do to help the people around us, the people we come in contact with, how do we help them to see the help, the hope, and the healing that's in God? The truth of the matter is, you can become so consumed with your own schedule, your own responsibilities and your own problems, that you stop seeing the people that God has put in your path for you to be a blessing to. So consumed about what's going on inside of you that you don't notice the people who are around you. And here's what I've come to realize. The greatest challenge facing the church today is not how many people come to church. The greatest challenge facing the church today is not how many people come and give money in the church. The greatest challenge for the church today is really not in how many people come, but in how many people we send. It's not in how many people come to us. It's about how many of us go to people who are hurting and in need. In Acts chapter 3, there's a gentleman who's sitting by a temple gate by the name of Beautiful. He's there, placed there by people who love him and who are concerned about him, to ask for help from the people that he feels like he should most get help from, people who say they know and love God. Here he comes in a bad situation, a bad state. And God meets him there. But God doesn't meet him there in the form of an angel. God does not meet him there in the form of a theophany. God meets him there through an ordinary man who's willing to be used in an extraordinary way. Today, for a few moments, I want to talk to you from the thought, how to meet needs and open hearts. How to meet needs and open hearts. Many times when we think about opening somebody's heart to receive the love that God has for them, we think we can talk their heart open. We think we can badger them and pester them into opening their heart. We think we can argue with them logically about opening their heart. And in many instances, what we fail to realize, what we fail to see, is that people's hearts are open not by what you say, but by what you show. People's hearts are open when you show them and share with them God's love in a tangible way. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? If you need an outline, raise your hand and the ushers will get one to you. For those of you who are watching, wherever you are, you can find a downloadable outline. Go to our app, wherever you get your apps, the Good Hope Store. You'll find a fill-in-the-blank outline there. Or go to our website at goodhope.org. Acts chapter 3 takes place shortly after the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit has been poured out. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 have come. The church of Jesus Christ has been given birth to. The Bible says when they get to the end of Acts chapter 2, they are sharing in the expressions of faith, worship, instruction, fellowship. They are loving one another. They are in community, and God continued to add to the church. And when we get to Acts chapter 3, Peter and John are now going to the temple at the hour of prayer. It's approximately 3 p.m. Outside of the temple gates, one of the gates called Beautiful, a man was sitting who had been lame from birth. When you read on in the book of Acts, you get to Acts chapter 4, we find out that the man was over 40 years old. For more than 40 years, he depended upon the charity of others. Because of his disability, he lived on the margins of society. What's interesting is he was near the church, but doesn't appear to be welcomed into the church. He's waiting on people who are on their way to church, but people miss church on their way to church. They miss the ministry opportunity that was in front of them to go in and give praise and worship to God. And on this day, God would use Peter and John to demonstrate a powerful truth that when God's people meet needs in Jesus' name, God opens hearts for his glory. Three things I want you to see today, and then we're going to go to part two next week. Here's the first thing. Number one, you must notice the needs of others. You must notice the needs of others. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms, money, a gift, a donation. Need something for food. I'm hungry. And Peter directed his gaze, verse 4, at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. This man was born lame. The man was poor, and he was outside of the temple, separated from God. The only interaction with God would have been from the people of God who were on their way to the temple. But the Bible says Peter and John noticed him. They saw him. But they not only saw him, they stopped to find out what they could do. Some of you remember the first time you saw a person on the side of the road and they had a sign that said, "We'll work for food." And the first time you saw it, you probably felt something. You probably felt a need, an obligation to respond. And then you had people tell you, "Oh man, they just out there hustling." And then you had some folk who were out there with signs and they said, "Just want a beer. I want to be honest." Right? You might have stopped and gave them something just for being honest. I don't know. But here's what I do know. We have seen so many people on so many corners holding signs that now it has become as commonplace as a stop sign. We're not even shocked when we see it. As a matter of fact, some of us, we go to certain corners and we're shocked that somebody isn't there. Peter and John are going into the temple. And here's this guy who's got a 40 plus year record of being disabled. Here's a guy who for years has been laid at the temple gate called Beautiful. What a oxymoron. A man in such bad shape is at a temple gate called beautiful. It's like coming to a church named Hope and everybody's hopeless. Right? So, something wrong with that picture. Here he comes, and Peter and John, the text say, they see him. Write this down somewhere on your outline. Service begins with seeing. Service begins with seeing. You can't meet a need that you refuse to notice. You can't help people you overlook. Service begins with seeing, and seeing is not limited to eyesight. Seeing includes insight. Some of y'all see, but you don't see. Some of y'all see, but you don't see, and you don't want to see. Some of y'all see, don't want to see, and don't want to be seen. You know, it's kind of like that person that's at the corner and they start walking up to your car, and you start pretending like you're on the phone or looking the other way, and you wave them off. I don't have any cash. You got Stripe? You take credit card? No, you don't got no? Okay, I can't help you. I'm sorry. The text says they saw him. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus saw people, y'all. He saw people that other people didn't see. He saw Zacchaeus up in the tree. He saw and sensed this woman who touched the hem of his garment. He noticed and heard blind Bartimaeus. He saw the children that others were rejecting. He noticed the hurting. And if we are going to serve like Jesus, we've got to learn how to see people like Jesus did. You got to see people. Y'all, some of y'all are so busy in your office that you don't stop to see the person whose desk you walk by. You don't stop to let the Holy Spirit say to you, hey, check on that person. See what they're doing. I called somebody the other day, and I called them because the Lord put them on my heart. And I didn't call them, and then the Lord put them on my heart again. And I said, okay, Lord, you must really want me to call this person. And so I picked up the phone, I called them. And he said, hey, man, what's going on, Cofield? I said, man, listen, the Lord just put you on my heart. I'm just calling to check on you. You know what he said? He said, wow. He said, that's crazy. He said, man, I've been going through some stuff, and I was just thinking about some stuff, man. And, man, the fact that God would use you to call me right now means the world to me. Y'all, it's just you letting God use you. You know, we're 4th of July, summer season, and I was watching the kids play in the swimming pool, and I realized that everybody doesn't look at the pool the same way. Follow me. Most of us, when we go to a swimming pool, we're looking for fun. And we're looking for the people who are having fun and laughing and joking with those people. But a lifeguard doesn't look at a swimming pool the same way you do. A lifeguard, when they go to a pool, they're not looking for the people who are having fun. They're looking for the people who are in trouble. They're looking for the people who are in distress. Here's why. Think about this. What you are looking for determines what you see. You might want to write that down somewhere. What you're looking for determines what you see. And my brothers and my sisters, many Christians walk through life not seeing because they're not looking. Some of you don't want to see because it's inconvenient for you to see. Jesus teaches us to look for opportunities to be who he has created us to be. So for somebody today, I want you to leave here praying, saying, Lord, help me see what others overlook. Help me see who others overlook. Look for the lonely. Look for the people who are grieving. Look for the struggling parent. Look for the overwhelmed coworker. Look for the discouraged student. Stop asking people, if you need something, call me. Instead, when you sense something, call them and check on them. Look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 and 37. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few." Luke chapter 10, verse 33. Let's read it together. "But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion." There were other people in that story who saw, but they went the other way. The Samaritan saw and had compassion. Proverbs 14:21 says, "Whoever despises his neighbor is a sinner, but blessed is he who is generous to the poor." Here's the second thing I want you to see if you're going to meet needs and open hearts. Number two, you must offer what you have to those in need. You must offer what you have to those in need. Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." The man wanted money, but he needed something else. And Peter offered him something greater. Now, I want you to notice something. Peter did not focus on what he lacked. He focused on offering what he had. Here's the problem for many of you. You don't serve because you focus on what you don't have and what you can't do and what you don't want to do, as opposed to focusing on what you can do. Sometimes it goes something like this: "I don't have any money. I'm not smart enough. I'm not as smart. I don't have an education like other people. I don't have time. I'm busy. I got stuff going on in my life. I don't have enough experience." And Peter reminds us, just use what you have. Give what you have. The issue is not what you don't have. The issue is whether you are willing to give what God has already given to you. See, here's a challenge for somebody today. God wants you to stop being a Christian and start being a disciple. You say, "Wait a minute, Pat, what you mean?" See, being a Christian, as too many of us define it, you can fit being a Christian in somewhere in the nooks and crannies of your already crowded life. So you fit being a Christian in by coming to church a couple hours on Sunday. And maybe you pick up your Bible, you know, if you're not too busy. And maybe you pray, if you remember to pray. Being a disciple is not something you fit into your life. It calls for a reorientation of your life. When you say you're going to be a disciple of Jesus, you got to reprioritize your life now. You don't fit Jesus into your life. When you are a disciple, you fit your life around what Jesus wants you to be. When he says, "Forsake all and follow me," that's a call for reprioritizing your life, not fitting it in as you go. And here's the greatest challenge. Here's the greatest challenge that some of us have. You say, "I don't have money to give." You say, "I don't have time." What do you have to give? Jesus says, Peter teaches us that when you don't have stuff, you should still be able to give somebody Jesus. Shame on you that you don't have enough Jesus to give to somebody else. He says, "Silver and gold I don't have, but man, what I do have, I can give you this. I can give you Jesus." And how many of you know people who will call you to borrow money? And they'll call you to borrow money, and money's not their problem. They got some character issues they need to deal with. They got some commitment issues they need to deal with. They've got some self-discipline that they need to put into practice in their own life. And many of you are enabling them instead of challenging them to say, you know what? That ain't what you really need. What you really need is to change your life. God wants you to start by using what you already have. And if you have nothing else, child of God, you got a relationship with Jesus that you ought to be able to share with somebody else. Think about Moses, Exodus chapter 4. He's standing in front of a burning bush, and God says to Moses, what's in your hand? Just a rod, just a staff. But that staff would be used by Moses to help deliver the children of Israel. Because watch this, a staff may not be much in Moses' hands, but a staff becomes a powerful tool when it's in Moses' hand once he puts himself in God's hand. Some of y'all missed it. Let me see if I can say it again real plain. If you put yourself in God's hand, even what's in your hand becomes more powerful once it's in God's hand. What do you have? Some of you, you got time, you got talent, you got treasure, you have your temple, your body, you have your testimony, you have encouragement, you have compassion, you have experiences, you have wisdom, you have prayer. Listen, even if you go by somebody, let me tell you how warped our God consciousness is. Let me tell you how much our Godar is off. Not your radar, your Godar. Your Godar is off. Let me tell you how bad it is. You will ride by people that you don't feel like God wants you to help and won't even pray for them. I don't want to roll out a window and give them nothing, but you won't pray for them? I mean, are you that off in your view of others that you can't even pray for folk? Stop focusing on what you don't have and start doing what you can with what you already have. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied gift. Let's move on. That's a little too convicting. Number three. Y'all got real quiet. It's like, ooh. Like, ooh. I told you, number one, you must notice the needs of others. Number two, you must offer what you have to those in need. Number three, final thing today, you must point people to Jesus. You must point people to Jesus. But Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Let's save the miracle for next week in terms of the man walking. Let's talk about the power of obedience from Peter and John in ministering. It's amazing that the miracle the man received and experienced came after Peter and John's obedience to how God was leading them. Peter understood that the power was not in him. Peter understood that the power was in Jesus, and he understood, listen carefully, that the goal of ministry was not to make Peter famous. The goal of ministry was to make Jesus known. Let me put a cord in the meter and park there, because I want to give somebody some perspective today that you may not have. Meeting needs is important, but ultimately every act of service should point people to Jesus. They can get food anywhere. They can't get food and Jesus everywhere. They can get clothes anywhere. They can't get clothes and Jesus anywhere. Are you following me? See, people need more than just food delivered. They need faith developed. People need more than just clothing on their back. They need a commitment to Christ in their heart. People need more than encouragement. They need equipping and empowerment. People need more than healing. They need hope that they can only find in Jesus Christ. And so whatever we do to point people to Jesus. How do you add some Jesus talk in your conversation? Hey, y'all, listen, I ain't talking about, you know, belligerent. I ain't talking about that kind of stuff. You know, I ain't talking about holier than thou. You know, I ain't talking about that. I'm just talking about just a simple word that, for example, a God bless you. I'm here because of what God has done in my life. Somebody says to you, man, why y'all come here? Why does your church come down here? Because we're here because of what Jesus has done in our life. And we believe God wants to make something beautiful out of your life. When you go to the Beacon and you're down there doing the laundry of homeless people, ain't nothing glamorous about doing the laundry for homeless people. Some of y'all don't do your own laundry. You going down there to do laundry of homeless people, how much dignity can you give to them by thanking them for the privilege to be able to serve in Jesus' name? If I just plant a seed, y'all, right? We don't serve just to serve. We serve so people can see Jesus in our serving. You use service as a bridge to show others the Savior. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Look at it. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Somehow we have been taught erroneously that we can get people into the kingdom of God more by what we say than by how we live. And somebody said, your actions speak so loud, I can't hear a word you say. Some of y'all know how to talk church. Do you know how to be church? Every day of your life, shame on us if the best Christian value you get from our life is 2 hours on Sunday. You got over 100 hours the rest of the week, and this is your best Christian? This is your best Christianity? Coming to church, sitting here, watching me looking at you. You at your best Christian life right now. You living your best Christian life right now? Listen, God has strategically placed you in the path of people. Not by accident, y'all, but on assignment. And God wants to use you. You say, who am I? And I say to you, by yourself, you may not be much. None of us are. But it's in God's hand that we become mighty and we can be used in a powerful, powerful way. Letitia Plummer was here earlier today. Letitia Plummer won primary election against Anise Parker. Nobody gave her a chance to win the Democratic nomination for Harris County judge, but she won. Everybody was making up excuses, low voter turnout and all this kind of stuff, but she won. Tisha Plummer, a sister, nice personality, you know, nice person. She was a dentist. A dentist who decided that she wanted to enter into public service. People looked at her like she had lost her mind. You're a dentist. You're making money. You're a dentist. Why you want to go and take a pay cut to be a public servant? Are you all right? Are you going through a phase? What's wrong with you? What happened? And she runs and she wins a seat on city council. And I'm sure there were family members and friends who talked to her and looked at her and said, okay, did you get that out of your system now? Can you go back to doing what pays the bills, like, for real? And then she says, I'm going to run for county judge. Why? Because I want to serve the public. I want to help people. And I feel like I can help people more in a position of public service than I can in a dentist chair. Now listen, I want you to hear me when I say this. She's just an ordinary sister, y'all. Letitia ain't nothing special about her. Like, she ain't sitting here with no, you know, Albert Einstein IQ. You know what I mean? She ain't independently wealthy. She's just a regular sister. You meet her, she's a good sister. She's a cool sister. But she made a decision and said, I want to be used in a powerful way. I'm here to tell you there's nothing stopping you from being used by God except you. And so I want to encourage somebody today, get out of your own way. Get out of your own way. You making excuses for you to remain at a place of mediocrity. Get out of your way and move to and accept God's greatness for your life. See, like Peter and John, you walk past and you will encounter people whose greatest need in life is not what they have, but it's what they need on the inside. They may ask for money, but they need to be ministered to. They may ask for help, but they need hope and healing. They may ask for encouragement, but they need Jesus. So what do you need to do? Here's what I want to challenge somebody to do today. I want you to leave today and notice one person. In all the people you interact with, see one person. Notice one person. Ask God, God, show me one person that I can minister to. And then make a commitment to meet one need. See, when you meet one need, a meal has purpose. Encouragement has purpose. Just one. And then make a decision to point that person to Jesus. See, when you notice the need, every act can become a life-changing act. Don't underestimate what God can do through you. Don't underestimate the power of a meal. Don't underestimate the power of a prayer. Don't underestimate the power of a visit. Don't underestimate the life-changing power of a conversation, of an invitation, of a simple act of kindness, because a need can be met, and when a need is met, a heart can be opened. When a heart is opened, a life is changed. When a life is changed, a family is transformed. When a family is transformed, a neighborhood is changed. When a neighborhood is changed, a city is changed. When a city is changed, a county is changed. When a county is changed, a state can be changed. When a state can be changed, the world can be changed. And when a country is changed and the world is changed, the world becomes a better place. So here's what you have to decide today. Am I going to live to add value to people, or am I going to walk by and take value away? Am I going to be sensitive to what the Lord is doing? I'm thinking right now, y'all, I've got some trips coming up, and I'm praying right now saying, okay, Lord, who do you want me to see on these trips? Who do you want me to see? You're sending me for a reason, not by accident, on assignment. Who do you want me to see? And what difference can I make? That's the words of the old song, y'all. If I can help somebody as I pass along, if I can cheer somebody with a word of song, If I can show somebody how they're traveling wrong, then my living shall not be in vain. If I can do my duty as a good man ought, if I can bring back beauty to a world upwrought, if I can spread love's message as the master taught, then my living shall not be in vain. The chorus says, my living shall not be in vain. Oh, my living shall not be in vain. If I can help somebody as I pass along, then my living shall not be in vain. And every seed you plant and every planted seed you water, God will bring forth the increase. You may not see it fully develop in your presence or in your lifetime, but I promise you, somebody in glory is going to walk up to you and say, I'm here because of you. Pastor Lusk, my pastor, was telling me the story. He parked his car outside of the church, North Broad Street, 700 block of North Broad Street, few blocks from the Richard Allen housing projects. Some call them the most notorious public housing projects in the city of Philadelphia. They've since been torn down. And somebody broke in past his car. He has golf clubs, his briefcase, bunch of stuff in there. Broke in his car, took his stuff. And pastor said he went into church, prayer meeting. And one of the old mothers of the church said, Pastor, he said, I'm praying. He said, but you're gonna get your stuff back. He said, I'm believing God's gonna bless you with your stuff back. And he said, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am. He just kind of blew it off. A couple of days later, pastor said he got a call from one of the underworld fellas in the neighborhood. He handles things that have been procured in a less than legal fashion. The guy called him. He says, this Pastor Lusk with Great Exodus. He said, yeah. He said, Pastor, I'm calling you to tell you I got your stuff. He said, I got your clubs, I got your briefcase, I got everything. He said, I just need to know if you're at the church, I won't bring it to you. And the pastor was in shock. He said, the guy brought the stuff back. And he said, Pastor, you don't know this. He said, but I used to live over in Richard Allen housing projects. He said, and every year you would do Thanksgiving baskets. He said, and that's all my family and I had to eat. He said, every year you would do something special for Christmas. And there were a lot of times that was the only thing that was under the tree, was what the church did for us. He said, you don't owe me nothing. He said, I'm just glad I could give it back to you. Y'all, we don't know the lives that we can touch and the lives that we can change. But you can't serve where you refuse to see. You can't love where you refuse to live. You can't give where you refuse to go. And I'm not talking about going physically. I'm talking about going in your heart. God wants to use you, ordinary people, to do extraordinary things. And can I tell you, there's no better feeling in the world, y'all, than to know you've been used by God to help change somebody's life in time and for eternity. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and bless you for today. And I pray now that you would bless the word that has gone forth. Pray, God, that the seed of your word has been planted and would germinate into great fruit in and through our lives. Help everybody under the sound of my voice to know, God, that you want to use them in a powerful way. And that when they allow you to use them to meet needs, you open hearts. Because that's what love does. We ask these blessings, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I've told you this before. I love watermelon, my favorite fruit. God was doing some of his best work when he made a watermelon, you know. And the other day I walked in and Pastor Cam was eating. He had some yellow meat watermelon. And in my mind, I was already reaching for some before he asked if I wanted some. Right? And so I was thinking about it as I was eating the watermelon. And it had seeds in it. And I remember how much I love seedless watermelon. I love seedless watermelon. It's like, man, that's just a, it's like the Holy Ghost is on it or something, man. It's just anointed, man, you know. And especially, man, when that thing is ripe and is and you just put the tip of the knife in it and it just cracks over. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I got some watermelon lovers in here. Y'all know what I'm, some watermelon connoisseurs up in this joint. I understand. And listen, and I love it. But here's where I had a problem, y'all. I mean, I ate the seedless watermelon. It was so good. It was so good. And I said, I'm going to take the seed and I'm going to dry it out and I'm going to plant it because I'm going to grow me some watermelon just like this. I just had one problem. It was a seedless watermelon. It was no seeds. I mean, little white seeds. You can't do nothing with them, right? And here's what I found out, y'all. Seedless watermelons are genetically engineered to be seedless. Right? They're not made for reproduction. They are created purely for pleasure. I submit to you, my brothers and sisters, we got too many seedless saints. We don't live for reproduction. We live for pleasure. Our pleasure, our enjoyment, and we don't realize that God has created us to plant seeds of the gospel everywhere we go. And when we find seeds that we didn't plant, God calls us to water those seeds everywhere we go. And when you find a seed that's been watered and has been planted and you got a little plant, God calls you to nurture that plant everywhere you go. So that our lives can be fruitful and not fruitless. Pastor Cam's gonna come now and give us the invitation to discipleship. If you're here today, or if you're watching, you've never asked the Lord into your life, I wanna give you an opportunity to say yes. Those of you who are on the digital platform, there's a QR code that's coming up that you can scan and use to get to a quick link. How to accept Jesus Christ as you into your life, how to become part of our church family. But we also have gladiators on the post today. And these are men and women.